Morning. Today's daf and Shabbos Kuf Zion. We are on the very bottom of Kuvav Amud Beis. We are starting today with the Mishnah, second Mishnah towards the bottom, where we're going to be concluding today the 13th parak of the Masechta, and in Mirtz Hashem, we're going to be beginning the 14th parak. Here we are discussing the Malacha of Seda, of trapping, one of the Malachas that were covered here in this very short 13th parak. And let us continue. The mission over here is going to be discussing now aspects of trapping, in that there are two people that are involved in trapping. Yesterday we saw a Mishnah, the first Mishnah that was towards the bottom of the Amud, that described where the animal was in the house, and the house then got bolted. If it got bolted by one person, so that person was involved in the act of trapping, and therefore he's chayav for the Malacha of Seda. If two people were doing it, so that's what's called classically shnaimsha asua. Two people doing something is going to be a ptur. It's going to be an exemption. Each one of them is going to be exempt from having to bring a carbon chatas. Let's say the bolt was so big that the two of them needed to carry it. So that is, the two of them are going to be chayv. There is a shita of Rabbi Shimon, which the Mishnah mentions, that even Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that even in such a situation, you're going to be pater. They're going to be pater. But the halacha falls like the chachamim, that if they're both needed to carry the bolt, so then they're going to be chayv. That was the mission that we saw yesterday regarding two people involved in the act of trapping. The mission over here is going to continue with the discussion regarding two people, and we're going to see exactly how the two people are going to combine in order to trap the animal. The mission over here paints the scenario: Yosheva Echad al Pesach v'lo miluhu. So let's say the deer is in a house, and the house has an opening, and one person stands in the doorway, but this one person standing in the doorway is not wide enough to cover the entirety of the opening of the doorway. And Yeshev Hasheni, Umiluhu. Second person now stands side by side with the first person. The second person now closes the entrance. Under these circumstances, Hasheni Chayv, the second one, is going to be liable for the act of trapping. The first person himself is not going to be Chayv in trapping, because just because the first person was there, he did not cover the entranceway, allowing the deer to escape. But when the second person there to fill up whatever gap is left, so he's the one who has now trapped the deer, and therefore he's the one who's going to be liable. Mishnah continues, Yashav Rishon al Pesach umiluhu. Let's say the entrance is narrower, so that when the first person stands in the doorway, the first person now is blocking the entrance, and in doing so, he is now preventing the deer from exiting. So obviously the first person is going to be chayv. That's not going to be the point of the Mishnah, that's obvious, but watch what happens now. Yashav Rishon al Pesach amiluhu. So the first person stands in the doorway and he fills up the doorway. Uba Hasheni v'yashav b'tzido. And the second person now stands by his side. Now we don't really mean by his side, because the first person has filled up the entranceway. What the Mishnah really means is that he's standing in front of him or he's standing behind him. He too is filling up the doorway. But the doorway has already been filled up by the first person. Now Afa Pishamad Arishon v'halachlo, Harishon chayav Hasheni pater. So now, in this scenario where the second person also now stands in the doorway, and the first person walks away. So under these circumstances, the first person was the one who was involved in trapping, and the second person, Hasheni Pater, is going to be exempt. Even when it turns out that the first person walks away, and the only one now that is blocking the exit is going to be that second person is going to be Pater. And the reason why the second person is going to be Pater is because he wasn't the one who did the act of trapping. He put himself in a position where, yes, it's true, when the first person walks away, he is going to be ultimately the one blocking the deer from exiting, but he wasn't the one who created this state of being trapped, and therefore he's going to be pater. And the Mishnah says, in order to help facilitate understanding, the Mishnah says, I'll give you a mashal, I'll give you a comparison. Halamazah Doma, what is it similar to? Lenoel's Beso, Leshomra, Venimsa, Tzvi, Shomra, Besocha. You walk into your house. You close the door. You turn around and you see there's a deer in your house. Now, aside from the fact that's probably cause for alarm and panic, but aside from that, you weren't planning on trapping the deer. You didn't even think about trapping the deer. You didn't even know the deer was in your house. So as you're now closing the door, so with no intention in mind other than I close my door because that's what I do when I walk in my house, and turn around and there's a deer there, obviously you're not going to be chayav on Shabbos on any level. Not on a deraisa, not on a derabanan. In other words, it'll be mutar lagamrei. That the Gemara says that's what it's analogous to when the second person walks into the width of the doorway. These two cases put side by side, so good. So what the Mishnah is telling us is that in both cases you're going to be pater. We will clarify in the Gemara. I'll just say it right now. that when the Mishnah uses the word pater, does not use it in the classic sense. What's the classic sense? Like we've been saying over the entirety of our Masechta. We're two-thirds through the Masechta, and we know already that when you hear the word pater, what you normally elicit is pater of al-asr, it meaning that it's going to be exempt from having to bring a carbon chatos, but still, it is a prohibited activity. Patur just simply means you're exempt from a carbon, but it's rabbinically prohibited. What the sense is you get from the Mishnah, and we're going to see this clearly, is that when the Mishnah says pater, pater over here means mutter. It is absolutely permitted, this kind of activity. Now, you certainly don't get that from the first case of the Mishnah. I don't mean the first case. The first case, they were standing side by side. You certainly don't get it from the case of front back, where the first person was standing there in the entirety of the width of the doorway, and the person walks behind him or in front of him. From there, you don't get it for sure. But from that last scenario, it's for sure mutter lagamre. When you walk into your house and you're closing your door, having no knowledge of the deer that's there, that for sure is going to be mutter lagamre. That's absolutely permitted. There can't be anything wrong with closing the door of your house. So it's going to become clear, and the Gemara is going to say it, that here is going to be one of the exceptions in the Masechta, that when we use the word pater, pater actually over here means mutter. Okay. And just one other point to take into consideration before we go to the Gemara, and that is, the Mishnah gave us an analogy. You know what it's like? The truth of the matter is, and Tosfos asked this question in the very bottom of the Amud, is that the analogy does help us understand, but how is the case of the person closing his door any better or any worse than the second person who walks behind the first person? The Im Tomer, last Tosfos on the Amud. Mai umehach mehach. How is this case of the person closing the door any better or any worse than the case where the second guy walks in front of or behind the second person? So the Tosos quotes one of the Balei HaTosos, the Riva, and he says, here's what I might have thought. You see, in the case where the second person walks into the doorway, again, not the side-by-side case, the front-back case, if the second person walks in, maybe he is adding a dimension, and that is he's adding extra shmira. Meaning, because look, right now you only have one line of defense to stop the deer from going out. Now with the second person behind him, that creates now a second line of defense. One could have made the argument that he is providing something, i.e. additional shmira, another layer of tzeda, so that the deer now for sure cannot escape. That's what I might have thought. But now with the last point of the Mishnah, where the person closes the door, not knowing the deer's in his house, so there is literally no contemplation. There would be no havamina whatsoever that what he did was a prohibited act. So now you see that the Mishnah is saying that once I'm putting these cases side by side, clearly everyone can be in agreement that in the case where he closes his door, not knowing the deer's there, is going to be mutter lagamre. So too, the second person walking either in front or behind the first person is going to be pater lagamre, mutter lechatchila, if you will. We are going to start with the Gemara on the top of Kuz Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Abi, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashiya, Amar Rav. So the Gemara quotes the following halacha in the name of Rav. Nichnasa lo tzipor tachas kenafav yoshev v'mishamar ad shetachshach. Let's say you had excellent fortune. Most people would not call this excellent fortune, but nowadays when we are looking for our birds, we go to the kosher market. But let's say on Shabbos happens to be that there's a bird that's right underneath your coat. You didn't trap it. It just ended up being there. So what you could do is Yoshev Meshamer at Shetachshach. So now that it's trapped already, you didn't do any action to trap it. So you can basically leave it there until it's dark. Yoshev Meshamer, protect it, guard it, meaning ensure now that it remains there. And that you could do until the remainder of Shabbos. Now, obviously, Shabbos, you're not allowed to move the bird, touch the bird, manipulate the bird. That is, the bird is for sure moksa. But the point is that once the bird gets into a position of being trapped, and you didn't do the trapping, so you can keep it in that trap state. That's the halach of Rav. So, Mezer Rav Nachma Yitzchak. So, Rav Nachma Yitzchak challenges that based on our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says, Yashav Rishon Ala Pesach Umiluhu Ba'ashenev Yashav Betzido. Let's take a look at our Mishnah. Now again, for person number two, who walks behind person number one, filling in the doorway, he didn't do the trapping. The animal was already in a trap state. it's pretty analogous to the case of the bird. So the second person now finds the animal in a position of being trapped. And all he did was just stand in the doorway. When the first person walks away, he's going to be putter. So it is pretty analogous to the case of the bird. So how is this a question? Because right now the Gemara is thinking that the word putter over here means aser midrabanan. And that's exactly the question. Maila putter val aser. So isn't putter over here understood in the most traditional way that putter is meant throughout the entire Masechta, that it means that's rabbinically prohibited? So, velo patrum, I'm sorry, the Gemara says, patrum mutter. No, that's not what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah over here means that he's exempt and it is mutter legamri. And hachinami mustab, right now the Gemara makes the point. We already made this point in the Mishnah, but the Gemara is going to solidify it. Hachinami mustab, midetani sefer, because look at the next part of the Mishnah. Lamaze dome, lenoos, basil, shomer, benimsas, vil, shamor, besocho. What happens when you close your door not knowing there's a deer in your house? The Mishnah says it's analogous to that case. Now, in that case, mechlal de patr mutter. That case for sure is mutter lechatchila. All you did was just close the door of your house. Shema mina. So the Gemara says, good. So we see now that our Mishnah's usage of the word patr means patr umutter. Igadami, now we're going to do this again. We're going to go through the same points again. Just in the second version, it's just going to be a slightly different format, but it's going to basically arrive at the same conclusion. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Avan Nami Tanina. Well, we start off with the halach of Rav, which the Gemara here in this Ikadamri assumes that we already know, which we do. It's where a bird, you encounter a bird in your coat, and now you didn't trap the bird, the bird's now trapped, you can keep it until the end of Shabbos. And now, I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Avan Nami Tanina. In the second version, we're going to use the Mishnah to support this. Where the first person walks away and the second person now finds himself in the doorway. He didn't do the act of trapping. The Mishnah says pater. And Maila pater mutter. Now here in the second version, we assume that pater over here means mutter. So the Gemara says, lo pater val aser. So the Gemara deflects and the Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe the Mishnah means that it's rabbinically forbidden. The Gemara says, no, that's not a good pshat. Because when you look at the last part of the Mishnah, the analogy, so we're talking about somebody closing a door not knowing that the deer is there. It's clear in the Mishnah that patro here means patro mutter, so in fact it is a good proof for the halacha of Rav. Amr Shmuel, called Patur de Shabbos Patur Aval Asr. Shmuel tells us, here's the rule when it comes to learning Masechta Shabbos, and that is, every time you see the word patur, Pater means pater aval aser. Levar mehani tlas de pater mutter. And there are three exceptions in Masechta Shabbos where the word pater means pater umutter. Now we have already encountered one of the three exceptions in our Mishnah over here. And the other two we're going to learn together right now. So chadaha. So the first one is the one we're learning right now, that the word pater means pater umutter. And the Gemara reviews for us how we know that. Umi mai de pater umutter diktani seifa. And here we go again. Good, but we're just numbering each one of the three, so the Gemara is just being detail oriented in terms of how we know. How do we know that our Mishnah is pater umutter? Because of the analogy. You walk into your house, you close your door, and then afterwards you discover there's a deer in your house. That's mutter lagamre. So is the case where after the first person covers the doorway, blocks the doorway, the second person walks behind him, the second person is totally exempt from any liability. V'idach, the Gemara says, now let's consider now the next case. The next case where the language of the Mishnah is pater, and pater means pater mutter. Amap is morsa b'shabas, im la'asos l'peh, chayev, im la'otzi mimenu lecha pater. Somebody who pops a pimple on Shabbos, if his intention is to make an opening, and so therefore there's going to be the pus coming out, the air coming in, if that's what his intention is. So by making an opening now, he has created a Pesach, which would be an Isser Daraisa on Shabbos, so then he'd be Chayef. Im lahosi mimen aleicha. However, if his only interest is to remove the pus from the pimple, so then Pater, he's going to be exempt. And we are now understanding that the word exemption actually means that it is mutter legamrei. Umi mai de Pater mutter. Now how do I know that? Did not. The Gemara says, I know that because of another Mishnah that we're going to learn later in the Masechta. We're going to see this Mishnah a couple of weeks from now. Machal shel yad litol ba'azakot. One can take a needle. The language of Machal shel yad as reference to a needle Rashi over here points it out. We're going to see it later in the Masechta. There are different size needles. There's a larger needle. There's a smaller needle. So we're talking about a smaller needle. That's why it says machat shel yad. So if, let's say, for example, you have a splinter and you're taking the needle. Now, the needle, of course, is muksa. It's muksa machmas iser. In other words, normally what you do with the needle is stitching. Stitching is one of the malachas on Shabbos. So the needle, therefore, is muksa in of itself. However, if I'm taking the muksa item to do something which is permissible, so that you're allowed to do. Classic example, which we're going to see later on, to take a hammer in order to open up a nut, in order to break the shell of a nut. So that's something which is mutter. So over here, if I'm taking a needle in order to remove a splinter, that you're allowed to do. Now, the idea over here is that you're removing a splinter. The splinter is uncomfortable, and you're moving the splinter, so therefore you can move a needle. The idea is that if your interest over here is to help the discomfort of removing a splinter, that's okay. If you are popping the pimple because of the discomfort that it causes you, that too would be okay. Now, why would it be okay? We're going to learn actually in today's daf, in the beginning of the 14th perek, this falls under the category of a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa. And as a result of that, we pass on like Rabbi Shimon, that it is pater, and since we pass on like Rabbi Shimon, the malacha she'ina tzricha legufa is pater, so that means that it's generally, now we're talking about Nisa Darabanan, but because of the discomfort that it's causing, so therefore the Chachamim were mekel and allowed you to do it even lechatchila. That all will be discussed a little bit later on this morning, but anyway, that's the short of it. The idach, and now we're going to go over a third halacha, where the word pater is used, but pater means mutter. Hatzah nachar v'shabes im esasek bo shalo yishachenu pater, im lerefu achayev. Let's say you're trapping a snake. But the reason why you're trapping a snake is because you do not want to get bitten by the snake. And so therefore, what you are allowed to do on Shabbos is you're allowed to trap it in order to ensure that you do not get bit. Again, this is another classic example of a malacha she'in tzricha legufa. You're not trapping it because you want the snake. You're trapping it because you don't want it to hurt you. So this is malacha she'in tzricha legufa. And again, assuming that we go like Rabbi Shimon, that means to say that it's an issur derabanan. But again now, because of the discomfort that it's going to cause you if it were to bite you, so the Chachamim were make all and allowed you to do it even on a lichatchila basis. It's mutter legamre. Now the Gemara says, how do I know? Umimayda pater umutter. Now the language that's used in the Mishnah is pater. But how do I know that this is one of the three exceptions? Did not, here we have a Mishnah. Kofin kara al ner b'shvo shalo se'echoz b'kora, ve'al tzoa shal katan, ve'al akra shalo teshach. So we have over here a number of instances where I could take a bowl on Shabbos and put it over the nair so that the beams do not burn. Not, by the way, not so that the fire goes out, that's extinguishing, that's nisa daraisa, but in order to make sure that we collect the sparks that come off of it so that the beams don't catch fire, on the excrement of a baby, and on a scorpion so that it doesn't bite you. Over here, the language that's used is that you're allowed to do this lichatchila. So that means to say that in order to prevent a scorpion from biting you, so you can take a bowl and put it right over the scorpion. So you're obviously trapping, but not trapping because you want the scorpion. That's a malacha hatzricha legufa. You're trapping it because you just don't want it to bite you. That's a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa. And as a result of that, we pass on with Rabbi Shimon, that's an issur derabanan. And because of the discomfort of what if it bit you, so therefore the Chachamim allowed you to do it, lechatchila, to go ahead and to trap it. That is the third example now, and that shows us clearly that for the snake as well, because of the discomfort of what if it were to bite you, therefore one is allowed to trap it on Shabbos, afilu chatchila. Hadron alacha oreg, that is the conclusion of the 13th parak of our Masechta. We open up with the 14th parak of the Masechta. We're still going to stay on the topic of Tzeda just a little bit, and a word of introduction. The Torah tells us that there are a number of small animals, crawling animals, that are going to be an avatumah, source of tumah. 8 in total. You open up Parsha Shmini, Perek Yud Aleph, and here I have a chumash in front of me, and we're in Pasuk Chav Tes. So the Torah introduces us to a number of the shrits, a number of the shratzim that are going to be an avatumah. Avatumah, when the sheretz is dead. So that if one makes contact with the dead sheretz, so they're going to become tame. The sheretz is an avatumah. You touch it, you are going to be a rishon l'tumah. Just in general, from a more global standpoint, in terms of how to understand the Torah and its organization in the animal, you'll see this in Parsha Shmini. You see this again in Parsha Re'eh. So animals are basically broken up into four main categories. Larger animals, chaya behema, all right, they can be subdivided. They are in fact subdivided to domesticated and wild animals, but those are large animals. Then, and including large animals are going to be sheep and goat, and but basically animals that walk on four and are of a larger variation. Then there are, oh, first there are birds. Then there's dugim, then there's fish, aquatic animals. And then there's shratzim. Now, shratzim, there is no good definition, English definition of the word shratzim. The translation, which is not really that scientific, but in the context of our discussion, you'll understand anything that crawls low to the ground, creepy, crawly little things, so that is going to fall under the category of a sheretz. In other words, a mouse, a rodent, is more on the category of a sheretz than it is a behema or a chaya within this organization. Not talking about biologically how animals are organized, right? Obviously, biology has done an unbelievable job in terms of the organization of animals. I'm just speaking about it from the Torah's perspective of how it is divided. So amongst the shratzim, for the vast majority of the shratzim, so when the sheretz dies, so most of the shratzim, by the way, are not kosher, meaning there are two discussions to have. One is in terms of kashrus, and the second one is in terms of tum and tahara. In terms of kashrus, so practically no small animals are kosher. In fact, the only ones that are the grasshopper. And that is a little bit earlier in this perek, where the psukim in Parsha Shmini tells us which grasshoppers are in fact kosher. We no longer have a mesorah in terms of which grasshoppers are kosher, so that means that the vast majority of the shratzim are not kosher. Fine. And then in terms of tumah tahara, so we'll say the same thing. The vast majority of them are not going to be a source of tumah, but eight which are identified here in Parsha Shmini are going to be a source of tumah. And the Torah enumerates eight different shratzim that are going to be an avatumah. And again, just to reiterate, after they have died. While they're alive, they're not a source of tumah. The source of tumah only comes about when they're dead. Now, what are they? So I'm going to read it in the Chumash. I'm not going to translate. Primarily because we're not really that sure what they are. Parenthetically, by the way, Rashi does spend time on each one of them. Not each one of them, but on many of them to try to determine exactly what they are in terms of modern animals, right? Animals as we know them. Anyway, v'zela chamatamei b'sheretz asheretz al aretz ha-choled, ha-achbar, ha-tzav liminehu. So the first three that are described are choled, achbar, and tzav. Achbar, so nowadays is something like a rat or a rodent. Ha-naka, ha-koch, v'al-ta'a, v'achomet, v'ha-tinshamet. And then the Torah gives us another listing of an additional five. Eila tmeim lachem b'chol hasharetz kol anogeh b'hem b'mosam yitma'ad arev. And then the Torah says that these are going to be tamei to you. Anyone who touches the shratzim after they have died are going to be tamei ad arev, will be tamei until the evening. Okay, that is just a brief introduction. Gets us into the world of Shmona Shratzim. Why is it a topic here in Masechet Shabbos? In other words, it sounds much more like a Tumah Tahara discussion belonging somewhere in Seder Taharos. What are we doing here in Seder Moed, Masechet Shabbos? Now the 14th parak of Masechet Shabbos. What are we doing discussing the Shratzim? So let's see the Mishnah inside. Shmona Shratzim Hamurim B'Torah. When it comes to the eight Shratzim that the Torah enumerates, Hatzadan, if you trap them, v'hachovel bahem, and you wound them, chayiv. So one is going to be chayiv. So two things mentioned in the Mishnah, one is trapping and the other is wounding. Now when it comes to trapping, you're going to be chayiv. Rashi over here writes succinctly in the Mishnah, shebimino nitzot. Because generally speaking, these kinds of shratzim are, generally speaking, trapped. The skins that they have are something that people generally desire. Again, it would be so much more helpful to all of us if we really understood which one of these eight are, what they actually are. But anyway, let's just assume right now, I know it sounds a lot more academic because I'm not giving good definition of what they are, but people trap them, people like the skins of these animals, so therefore, trapping them is going to be a malacha. and hachovel bahem, and if I were to wound them, you'd be chayev. Rashi over here writes a couple of important points. One, the reason why you're going to be chayev is because these have skins, right? Rashi writes in the Dibra HaMatzah, hachovel bahem chayev, yesh lahem or. They have skins. So therefore, chavala, a wound, is now going to have the blood collect right underneath the skin, and therefore you're going to be chayv for the malacha of chovel, of chavala. And Rashi continues, because it's mefarsh ben Gemara. V'havilei chabur she'enu chozeres, it's going to be now a permanent wound. V'havilei tolada deshochet. And now, when a person does chavala, what malacha is going to violate? Now, this discussion should sound familiar because we just discussed this in yesterday's daf regarding chavala. Chavala is one of those destructive malachas that a person is going to be chayv for. Remember yesterday's daf, machlokas Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, whether a person is going to be chayv for chavala. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're going to be chayv, even in its purest destructive form. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no, you're only going to be chayv for chavala if there is a positive benefit coming from the chavala. That was all in yesterday's daf. In the meantime, however, chavala is not one of the 39 malachos. We made this point yesterday, but we get to reiterate it again today. It's not one of the 39 malachos. It is the Mishnah and yesterday's Gemara clearly outlined it as a malacha. It must be a tolada. It has to be a subcategory. A subcategory of which malacha? So Rashi over here posits that it's a subcategory of the malacha of shochet. Okay, just like shechting, obviously what you're doing when you're shechting is you are causing the death of the animal by extracting its blood. So chavala, now it's not exactly the same because obviously you're not killing the animal, but nevertheless it is at least the beginnings of the death of the animal. And so therefore, that's one suggestion that Rashi makes. Rashi also makes another suggestion, lishna achrina, kevin di yesh lam or, nitzbaha or bedam, ha nitzra bo, dechai mishim saveya. Because it has skin, so what happens is that when you make a wound in the animal and the blood now collects in that area, it's going to discolor the skin of that area, and therefore it is the malacha of soveya. So chavala now is the tolada of the malacha of soveya. So within this Rashi, there are two possibilities of chavala being a tolada of either shechting or soveya. There actually is a third possibility, which is that it's a tolada of the malacha of dash, but that's not here in Rashi. And right now, let's just focus on the Rashi and the two possibilities of what it could be. Now, that means to say, of course, that we are unsure, meaning Rashi is offering these two possibilities so that we don't know. We don't know absolutely what it is a talada of. So from our perspective, it would be confusing to us when we're trying to issue a warning, not that we don't have a base in where there's no longer capital punishment. But when we're issuing a warning, when somebody is about to do chavala, and don't do it because it is a tolada of. So, unfortunately, now we're going to basically go with a multiple choice. It may be shchita, it may be tzoveya, maybe dash. Anyway, for our purposes right now, all we need to know is that it is an isser daraisa, and because the shmona shvatim have skins, so therefore the chavala done to them is going to be a malacha. Shar shkatzim v'ramasim. Now we're back to the Mishnah that when it comes to any other of these creepy, crawly bugs, and bugs is not good because it includes rats, rodents, etc., etc. So when it comes, let's just keep it in the Lashon HaKodesh. V'shar shkatzim v'ramasim. When it comes to any of the other shkatzim v'ramasim, achov ben potter. So if I do chaval with them, you're going to be potter. They don't have skins. And so therefore, they are not going to conform to the definition of chavalah. Now, what about trapping other shkatzim v'ramasim? So, if I were to trap them and people tend to trap them, so then you're going to be chayev. If it's shalol letzarech, however, I'm not trapping them because I want it, I'm trapping it for other reasons, that is malacha shein tzarich legufa, it's going to be pater. And it's clear that our Mishnah subscribes to the Shita, Rabbi Shimon, that a malacha shein tzarich legufa is going to be pater. Chayv of shebrushus, so if I have an animal or a bird that's in your rishus, meaning that it's already trapped, hatsadan pater. So if you trap them, you're going to be pater because they're already trapped. This condition already existed before Shabbos began. So therefore, you're not doing an act of trapping, and therefore you're going to be pater. Mem chayv. However, when it comes to animals and birds, so they do have hides, they do have skins, and so therefore, if you make a wound on either a chaya or an oaf, you're going to be chayv from the malacha of chavala. The only time a distinction can be made is only with shkatzim v'ramasim that don't have an or, that don't have hides, which are the vast majority of them. Only the eight that are enumerated in the Torah have a hide. Ad kan divrei ha-mishnah. Let's start with the Gemara's discussion. So the Gemara opens up with the assumption that we've already learned together because of Rashi, but Rashi only knows it because of the Gemara, and that is that the Shmona Shratzim, when you wound them, you're going to be chayv because they have a hide. Man Tana, who is the author of our Mishnah? Amar Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So Rabbi Shmuel says it is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And this takes us back to the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin has a debate between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim regarding the Shmona Shratzim. Now, we are led to believe right now that all eight of them have hides because that's what our Mishnah taught us. As we're going to see together, the Mishnah in Chulin teaches us that there actually is a machlokus of the eight, which one of them have hides, which one do not, vis-a-vis Tuman Tahara. Now, let's make this point clearly now so that we appreciate this a little bit better. The Mishnah in Chulin is discussing the Shratzim vis-a-vis the skin and vis-a-vis Tuma and Tahara. And that means to say as follows. As we learned the Pesukim already, if a person were to make contact with the Sheretz after it died, so the person is going to be Tameh. But the person has to be touching the Basar of the Sheretz, the flesh of the Sheretz. If, let's say, the person was not touching the Basar of the Sheretz, so he's not Tameh. So let's say you were to touch only the skin of this of any one of these eight Shratzim. Are you going to be Tameh? We're going to learn together. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says no. Because Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is of the opinion that the skins are different than the flesh for all eight of them. On the other hand, the Chachamim only have four of the eight where their skins are going to be separate from their flesh. But for the other four, the skins and the flesh are going to be one and the same. Meaning to say that according to the Chachamim, for four of the eight of the Shratzim, so they don't have a hide. And therefore, our mission over here, now our mission over here is not focused on Tumah Tahara. Our mission over here is focused on the Malacha of Chavala. But presumably, and this is exactly Shmuel's point, presumably the Chachamim of Masechta Chulin is going to disagree with our Mishnah, and our Mishnah here in Shabbos is only going to be conforming to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, not the opinion of the Chachamim. Let's see all this inside. Didnan, we have a Mishnah. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Amar Shmona Shratzim Yesh Lahem Orah. So the Mishnah in Chulin says that according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, all eight of them have hides. And that is conforming with our Mishnah, but that means to say that our Mishnah is not in agreement with the Shita of the Chachamim. Rava Bar Avuna Amar Rava Afilu Tamar Rabbanan. And Rava Bar Avuna says no. Our Mishnah can even be going like the Chachamim. Why? Because Ad Kan Lo Pligi Rabbanan Lahad Rav Yochanan ben Nuri Ela Linyan Tumah Dichsiv. Now, as far as Tumah Tahara is concerned, there is a debate between Rav Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim. And as we already laid out, but here the Gemara is speaking to this point, that according to Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, all eight of them have hides. The hides and the flesh are considered two different entities. And so therefore, in terms of Tumah Tahara, you touch the hide and only the hide, you're not going to become Tameh, because you must be touching the flesh of it. And the Chachamim disagree with Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. And by the way, we didn't go through this, but why does the Chachamim disagree with Rav Yochanan ben Nuri? Rashi over here says it's based on a drasha. The Gemara in Chulin speaks about it more. Anyway, we can bypass that point. We just simply need to know the facts. The Chachamim say that only four of the eight are going to be going to have halachic hides. The other four, their skins and their flesh are considered one entity. And it's based on a drasha. That regarding four of them, their hides and their skins are one and the same. But vis-a-vis the halachas of Shabbos, so the Chachamim are going to agree. And what the Gemara now is trying to argue is that our Mishnah is even going like the Chachamim. It's true that in the realm of Tumah Tahara, there is disagreement between Rav Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim. That part's true. But that's specific to Tumah Tahara because of a drasha. But once you get to Hilchos Shabbos, and we're now discussing, did I wound or did I not wound? So as long as there is some semblance of a hide, and what the Gemara now is trying to argue, this is the argument of Rava Bar Rav Huna, is that when it comes to the question of whether it is realistically a hide, so that when you wound it, it now will collect underneath the skin. So even the Chachamim, who vis-a-vis Tumat Tahara, make a distinction between the first four of the Shvatim versus the second four, but vis-a-vis Shabbos and Chavala will agree that all eight of them present some form of a hide, and therefore you're violating Chavala. That's what the Gemara is trying to argue. Now, why is the Gemara, why is Rav Bar Rav Huna trying to argue this point? Because our Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. It would be a little bit strange to suggest that our Stam Mishnah here in Shabbos only conforms to the opinion of Rav Yochanan Nuri and not like the Chacham. Gemara continues, in Shabbos Lopliki, is that really going to be a good pshat? Meaning Shmuel's pshat is much easier. Because for Shmuel, you don't have to make a distinction between the halachas of Tumah and the halachas of Shabbos. You could just simply say that our Mishnah is going like Rav Yochanan Nuri because in Tumah, all eight of them are considered hide. In Shabbos, all eight of them are considered hide. But this pshat that we're offering right now, that we're separating the halachas of Tumah and the halachas of Shabbos, it's a more difficult pshat. And the Gemara is going to point out, it's also harder to defend. The Hatayin, the Gemara says, what about the following braisa? Hatzad echad mishmona shoratzim amur b'torah, if I trap any one of the eight, hachova bem chayev. And then you wound them, you're going to be chayev divrei Rav Yochanan Nuri. V'chachamim omrim, in or, ela l'mashimanu chachamim. The only ones that have hides are only the ones that the chachamim enumerated. Okay, so, in this braisa, we're clearly talking about Hilchos Shabbos, we're talking about Seda, we're talking about Chavala. We have Rav Yochanan Nuri saying that all eight of them have hides, and the Chachamim said not all eight, only the ones that were counted by the Chachamim. Now, only the ones that were counted by the Chachamim, Adarabah, the Gemara is just bothered by the language of this braisa. Lema shemanu Chachamim ein lehem or. The Chachamim tells us which ones don't have or. So the language is just a little bit tricky. So Amar Abai, so on this braisa, so Abai says, okay, just a short editing job. And that is Hachi Kamar. Ein or chaluk mi basar, el lamashalo manu chachamim. That there is no separation, segregation between the hide and the flesh, except for those that were not enumerated by the chachamim. Right? A definitely difficult language. It's a double negative. But basically, the chachamim tells us which ones have hide being separate entities from the flesh, which ones are where the hide and the flesh are one entity. Anyway, what comes out over here is that in this reading of this braisa, it seems pretty clear that even as it relates to Shabbos, Rav Yochanan Nuri is arguing like the Chachamim. And this obviously would be difficult because we were trying to suggest that their machlokis is only by Tumat Tahara, not by Shabbos. So Amalei Rava Halamash Manu Chachamim Kamar. So Rav is bothered by Abai's editing of the braisa, because what Abai had to do was actually change the word Manu Chachamim to the words Shalom Manu Chachamim. That Rava feels is too much of an edit. So El Amar Rava, so Rava says, okay, so here's how I'll edit it. Hachi Kamar, this is what is meant by the Braisa. Ein Or Mitami Kebasar, that is for as far as the hide is not going to be Mitami like the Basar. Ein Or Mitami Basar, Ela Lamashu Manu Chachamim, except for those that were enumerated by the Chachamim. It comes out to basically the same point, which is that generally speaking, and I know it's funny to say generally because we're going to take it and divide it into half, but generally speaking, when it comes to the Shemana Shratzim, they have a hide. The hide is a separate entity from the flesh. However, the Chachamim pointed to four of them where the hide and the flesh are not two separate entities, but rather one entity. Okay, it's a cleaner editing of the Braisa, but the point comes out to be the same. But and the Gemara now hammers this point home. Mechalder of Yochanan Nuri, Hanach Nami de lo manu Chachamim Metamim. So that means to say that Rav Yochanan Nuri is more expansive. Rav Yochanan Nuri is of the opinion that all eight of them have a hide, and therefore, if I were to trap and wound every single one of these eight, you're going to be chayev. Whereas the Chachamim are disagreeing. And that means to say that our mission now is only going like the pshat of Rav Yochanan Nuri. And once again, if you're Shmuel, that's exactly what Shmuel tried to argue. But Rav Huna was trying to argue that no, that in regards to Shabbos, there is no debate between Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri and the Chachamim. And now, after having learned this braisa, it seems to be that we have no other way to say it, but rather that they're arguing. The Hakatan Rav Yochanan Nuri Omer Chesh Ratzim Yeshlam Oros V'lo Metamim. The Gemara is also bothered by even Rav's editing of the braisa, because in the braisa it said Rav Yochanan Nuri says that when it comes to the Eshratzim, yesh lahem oros v'lo metamin, that they have hides and the hides are not going to be metame. So amar of adar ramasa tritzachi. So finally, the Gemara now is going to do one more editing attempt regarding the brisa. V'chachamim omrim le'inyan tuma ein or l'mashamanu chachamim. So now, in this final editing, what we gain over here is that we are going to take out the word Ella, and the and also, in this final editing, we're going to say that the Chachamim are in fact arguing with Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, but only as it relates to Tumah, not as it relates to Shabbos. Meaning, vis-a-vis Shabbos, the Chachamim say Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, they have a hide. And if you wound them, you're going to be chayv for the malacha of Chavala. But vis-a-vis Tumah, the Chachamim told us that of the eight, four of them, and when I say the Chachamim told us, it's based on a drasha, but the Chachamim told us that regarding the eight shratzim, four of them, regarding Tumah, the hides and the flesh are going to be one in the same. And that means to say that for four of them, if I touch the hide, it's ke'ilu I touch the flesh. But that's only vis-a-vis Tumah. V'akadilin in Shabbos lo pligi. But vis-a-vis Shabbos, there is no debate. And now the Gemara, with this final editing of the Braisa, finally is supporting the position of Rabbi Bar Avuna. The Gemara says, V'atayin, the Gemara says, okay, but we do have another Braisa. Hatzadecha mechesh shratzim ha'amur mitara. If one were to trap any one of the shmona shratzim, ha'chova ba'em chayev. If one were to wound them, you'd be chayev. B'shratzim sheish lahem oros. V'ezihi chabur she'ino chozeres. And then the Braisa goes on to describe. And what kind of wound are we talking about? A permanent wound. One where it's going to be wounded forever. The blood collects in that area, even though the blood doesn't leave, that is considered a chavala. That's considered a wound. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri omer cheshrasim yesh lahem oros. And Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says that all eight of them have oros. So what we have over here in this braisa is a machlokus between the Tanakama of this braisa, who says that it's only going to be considered wounding, only for a select number. Doesn't identify which, but only for a select number. And then Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, for all eight. So here, again, we're clearly talking about Shabbos. We're not talking about Tumah. We're talking about Chavala on Shabbos. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says all eight. And the Tanakama of this Braisa says, only a select number. So again, in our attempt to suggest that our Mishnah here, the opening Mishnah, the 14th parak of Shabbos, is going both like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri and like the Chachamim, and although in the Braisa that we edited three times over, we eventually yielded that could possibly be, in the Braisa that we just concluded, it's really difficult to say such a pshat, because this Braisa clearly has somebody arguing with Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. So Am Rav Ashi Man Tanakama, Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, okay, here's what we could suggest. In the Braisa we just learned together, the Tanakama is not espousing the viewpoint of the Chachamim, but rather a shita of Rav Yehuda, a third opinion on this topic. And Rav Yehuda is actually going to be somewhat different than Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, somewhat different than the Chachamim. And Rav Yehuda da'azal basar gishta, Rav Yehuda, as far as he's concerned, so you're looking for thick skin. Of the shratzim, as we're going to see in just a moment, five of them have this thick skin. And so therefore, from Rav Yehuda's standpoint, it's not like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, where it's all eight have a skin separate from the flesh. It's not like the Chachamim, where the division is between four and four based on a drasha, but rather, according to Rav Yehuda, you're simply looking at thickness of the skin. How do I know that? Did not hear what the Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Omer, halata'a kechulda. That the halata'a is going to have the same status of as a chulda. Just like a chulda has a thick skin, so too the halta'a also has a thick skin. And so therefore, he takes the halta'a and he puts it together with the first four. The first four have thick skins, and so does the halta also have a thick skin. Four plus one, that gets us to a total of five. And that means to say that Rabbi Yehuda's position over here is not drasha-based, but it's reality-based. So the Gemara says, Aval Rabbanan depliga led Rabbi Yochanan le'inyan tumah, le'inyan Shabbos modulei. The Gemara says, now, as long as now we have explained that the Tanakhama is Rav Yehuda, so that means to say that it leaves us open to the interpretation that the Chachamim, who argue with Rav Yehuda, are on the side of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. The Gemara says, okay, meaning vis-a-vis Hilcha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, okay, yahachi hai divrei Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, divrei Rav Yochanan machlokes ami bailei. So the Gemara says, so the way the Braisa now is presenting it is certainly very strange, because the Braisa says that you know who was arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri. The way we're presenting it now, it's not just Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri, it's Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri and the Chachamim as well. And so it's certainly a somewhat misleading way to present the second sheet of the Braisa, when meanwhile it's not team Rabbi Yochan, it's not Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri, it's team Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri. So the Gemara says, Tini, Div Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri, Machu Kasa. So the Gemara says, fine. So when you're learning the Braisa, that's how you're going to read the Braisa. That those who are arguing with the Tanakama, which we have identified as Rav Yehuda, is now going to be team Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. Bamine Levi Mirabi. Before we continue in the Gemara, so let's just summarize, because that was just a lot of information that was thrown into a short amount of Gemara. And just simply to succinctly summarize now, so vis-a-vis Tumah and Tahara, we know for sure. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri is of the opinion that regarding all Shmona Shvatim listed in the Torah, the hides and the sherets are two separate entities. The only time you become Tamei is if you touch the flesh of any one of these Shmona Shvatim, but not the hides. We also know that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, and based on Hadrasha, they say that only four of the eight are going to be considered, where the hides and the flesh are two separate entities, but the other four, the hides and the flesh, are going to be one entity. And we just learned together that there actually is a third Shita, Shita's Rav Yehuda, who's of the opinion that five of them, the hides and the flesh, are going to be two separate entities, and for three of them, they're going to be one and the same. That is the three opinions as it relates to Tumah and Tahara. Now, as far as Hilchos Shabbos is concerned, so we leave ourselves open the following. It could very well be that the same machlokus is going to be regarding Hilchos Shabbos. If it has a hide and you wound it, you violated the Isser of Chavallah. And which ones have a hide? So it could just simply be that everything we learned by Tumah Tahara, we're just simply going to bring down to Hilchos Shabbos. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri says all eight. The Chachamim say four. Rav Yehuda says five of the eight. Or alternatively, and this is where the complication came in this discussion, alternatively, the machlokus between Rav Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim can only be limited to Hilchos Tumah Tahara, but when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, the Chachamim agree with Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. There is that possibility. One of the Amoraim subscribe to that possibility. Okay, hopefully the summary helped in terms of organizing the information. We continue in the Gemara. The Gemara now, Ba'imine, we are less than halfway down. It is the fifth wide line down. Ba'imine Levi Merebi. Levi asked the following question from Rebbe. Minayin lechabur she'eino chozeres. How do I know that a chabur is only going to be defined if it is a permanent wound? Yechsif, the pasuk says, ha'ipuch kushi orao v'namer chavavur asav. So is it possible that a kushi can change complexion, can change skin color? Is it possible that a namer can lose its spots? Now my Chabav Rasav. Now, when we say changing its spots, Ilema Dekai Rikmei Rikmei, as they just suggested that the leopard spots can't be changed. Hayv Namer Chabav Rasav Namer Gavnav Mi Baile. So the Gemara says that from a syntax standpoint, it would have been better if the pasuk would have used the word Gavnav, which means its shades, its spots. Ela Kikushi Ma Oro Dekushi Eno Chozeres Af Chabura Eno Chozeres. So the Gemara says that what we gain from this pasuk in Yirmiyahu is the idea that just like a kushi can't change its complexion, so too when it comes to a chabura is only going to be defined as a chabura if it's going to be a permanent condition. Ushar shkatzim, so ha hargan chaya. Now, the Gemara says, what if when it comes to a sheketz, you were to kill the sheketz? So you're going to be chaya. Meaning that when it comes to Sharshkats and Varamasim, that they don't have a hide, as a result of that, making a chabur on them on Shabbos is going to be putter, but only because they don't have a hide. But if you go beyond chabura, if you go beyond chavala, and you kill them, so the inference from the Mishnah is you're going to be chayav. Man Tana, who is the author of that position? Am Rav Yirmiyah, Rebbe Lazar, he. The Tanya Rebbe Lazar, Omer, Ha'ari Kina B'Shabbos, Ka'areg Gamal B'Shabbos. Rabbi Lazar was of the opinion that if one were to kill a kina, a louse, on Shabbos, so it is tantamount to killing a camel. Meaning, you're killing something which is alive, and therefore you're violating the Shabbos. Camel is just simply an example of something which is clearly alive. Killing it is a malacha of shochet, and so too the same thing is true regarding a louse. Maskev, love Rabbi Yosef, come up, please give Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Kina, Deino Paravarava. So the Gemara says, wait 1 second. What you're doing is you're introducing a machlokas that really doesn't have bearing on our discussion. You're using Rabbi Eliezer's shita as it relates to Akina. The only reason why the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Eliezer is because the louse is so small, the Gemara describes it as something that does not sexually reproduce. Now, the Gemara's assumption for this discussion is that a louse is not sexually reproductive, it rather is spontaneously generated. Now, we know that that's not true. We know that the louse is in fact sexually reproduced, so the assumptions that the Gemara is making over here doesn't conform to our understanding. It's not going to change the pshat within the Gemara. Because basically what the Gemara is formulating is the idea that when it comes to the louse, so we don't see it sexually reproducing, so therefore it is categorically different. We all understand that the Gemara describes it as some form of spontaneous generation, but the easiest way to explain the Gemara, the easiest way for us to understand the Gemara is just simply that from a perception standpoint, we don't see it sexually reproducing, and so therefore it belongs in a separate category. That's how our quote-unquote modern thinking can understand what the Gemara's point is. The Gemara says that Rabbi Lazar Shita over here is only for the louse because it does not reproduce sexually. But as far as all of the other crawly animals where it is clearly evident that they sexually reproduce, so there's not going to be any debate. If you kill them, you're going to be chayiv, and that's not limited to the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, as far as the machlokas as it relates to a louse, so that is learned out from the Elim, meaning where in the Mishkan do we find Shechita being done? So that is the red Elim Adamim, the red rams, where the hides were used for the Mishkan. Rabbi Eliezer Savar ki Elim Ha'elim Sheish Ben Netilas Neshama, Av Kol Sheish Bo Netilas Neshama. So as far as Rabbi Eliezer is concerned, Elim has served as a paradigm. What are we doing? We're taking life away. So the same thing would be true regarding the louse. We are simply removing its life. And the Chachamim say, yeah, we start off with the same paradigm. We start off with the Elim. And what is the feature, quality about the Elim? Is that not only are they alive, but how do they reproduce? They sexually reproduce. So therefore, when is one violating the malacha of Shochet, of Netilas Neshama? When you're taking the life of an animal that sexually reproduces. Amalei Abayi V'kina in Parav Rav. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. You mean to tell me that the louse does not sexually reproduce? V'hamar mar Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'zan mikarni re'im and v'ad beit zekinim. So over here, the Gemara is giving a description of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's schedule that he does over the course of the day. Incorporated in that schedule is that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of every creature up to and including beit zekinim, the eggs of the louse. Now, if we're talking about the eggs of lice, so how do you get to an egg? Must have been through sexual reproduction. So the Gemara says, no, minuhu demikre beitze kinim. The Gemara says, no. Beitze kinim over here is talking about a different species of animal altogether. The name of the species is actually called beitze kinim. V'atanya tefui beitze kinim. So minuhu demikre beitze kinim. Again, we have a braisa that describes beitze kinim, but the Gemara's answer is very simple. Again, it's not the eggs of the louse. It's just simply talking about a different species. V'are parush the par v'rava. So the Gemara says, what about the small gnat, which sexually reproduces? V'tanya atzad parush b'shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer mechayv, Rabbi Yeshua poter. And meanwhile, we have a debate whether one were to trap such an insect, one would be chayv or one would be poter. So Amavashi seida ahariga karamis. Ravashi says you're changing the subject. We're talking about netilas neshama. You move the conversation over to trapping. That's a different conversation. Adkan lo pligi Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua ella demar savar davar she'ein b'minod nitzo chayav. When it comes to trapping, the criteria of whether one violates Shabbos is this species normally trapped? You don't normally trap insects, so for the purposes of the insects. And so, the debate between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Lazar is, does the act of trapping going to be including animals that we don't normally trap? But that's trapping. We're not talking about trapping. Avali'in and Hariga, we're talking about terminating life. Afila Rabbi Yeshua Moda. When you terminate life, so as long as the animal reproduces sexually, everyone's going to be in agreement that one violates the Isser of Hariga of Netilas Neshama. So the Gemara over here, just a quick recap, when it comes to trapping, we have a debate And when it comes to Chavala, we have a debate, but when it comes to Netilas Neshama, the only thing that's open for discussion is the louse, which the Gemara describes as spontaneously generated. But again, as we explained, we don't have to take the Gemara super literally over here. It's just simply that it is beyond perception in terms of how it generates, and so therefore it's in a category in of itself. But when it comes to all other animals, which clearly sexually reproduce, so one is going to be chayav for Netilas Neshama. And let's just do a little bit more for today. Hatsadan Lutzarech Chayav. Now, trapping them. Lutzarech, you're going to be chayav. It's because you want them, you're chayav, but if it's ain't Lutzarech, you're going to be pater. Man Tana, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Rav, Rabbi Shimon, Eid, Amr Malacha, Shein Tzrich, Legufa, Pater Aleha. The observation we made back in the Mishnah, the Gemara here spells it out, that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, that a Malacha, Shein Tzrich, Legufa, your pater. Now some learn it on a different Mishnah, and that is Amapis Morsa B'Shabbos. Now Im Lasos Lapech Chayv Im Laotzi Mimen Aleicha Pater, popping a pimple on Shabbos. Now it happens to be we just were here because we went over this at the end of the 13th parak. Today's daf on the Amud Aleph. So over here, when you're popping a pimple and your only purpose is to discharge the pus, so therefore that is a Malacha She'ein Atzricha Legufa. What would be the malacha hatzricha legufa? Making the opening, the pesach. But that's not what. That's not why you're doing it. You're doing it only to remove the pus. That's malacha shein tzricha legufa. Now, man tana, am Rabbi Yehuda, am Rav, Rabbi Shimon, he. Dam malacha shein tzricha legufa, pater, alaha. That subscribes to the shita of Rabbi Shimon. And finally, ikid amasin laha. So I'm learning on the following. Hatzad nachash b'shabbos, one were to trap a snake. On Shabbos, the Masasik bo shaloisha chena pater. If you're doing so because you don't want to get bitten, you will be pater. Im lirifua, but if you're doing it for medicinal purposes, meaning you want the venom, so you're trapping the snake for the snake, that is a malachat tzrich legufa, then you're going to be chayv. So man tanam Rabbi Yehuda Rav, Rabbi Shimon hidam malachat shein tzrich legufa, pater aleha. That is the shita of Rabbi Shimon, who holds that a malachat shein tzrich legufa is going to be pater. Let's recap our morning. We start off with the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuvavim and Beis regarding the two people standing in the entrance, standing side by side and blocking the entrance. The second person who now blocks the totality of the entrance is going to be Chayev. Standing front back, the first person who created the blockage, therefore trapped, he's going to be Chayev. The second person only standing behind him is going to be Pater. Even as the first person leaves, the second person is still going to be Pater. Gemara over here had two discussions at the end of the 13th parak. One is if you find a bird in your coat, so you can keep him there to the end of Shabbos. You didn't trap. The bird was found in a trap situation, so you can keep it that way till the end of Shabbos. Our Mishnah, in the case of the front back, is supportive of this idea. And the second point in the end of the 13th parak is that when the Mishnah describes the second person who is behind the first person as being pater, it means pater or mutter. And three times in Masechet Shabbos, the word pater is used in the context of pater or mutter. One, the case of the front-back trapping. Two, the case of the discharging of a pus of a pimple. And three is the trapping of a snake in order so that it doesn't bite you. And all three of these, the language used in the Mishnah is pater. The understanding, the correct understanding is pater or mutter. We opened up with the 14th parak, and the 14th parak opens up with a somewhat complex discussion regarding how to view the hides of the Shmoneh Shvatim of the Torah, whether they are considered a separate entity from the flesh, in that if you were to wound it, you've now violated the Malach of Chavala. Our Mishnah's position actually very clear in that all eight of them have a hide, and therefore by wounding all eight of them, any one of the eight of them, you're going to be chayv on the Malach of Chavala. Presumably, our Mishnah here in Shabbos is only going like the Shita of Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, not like the Shita of the Chachamim. A much discussed topic in the beginning of the 14th parak. It took us through the end of the Amud Aleph and well into the Amud Beis, where the Gemara concedes that there are two possibilities. One is that our Mishnah is only going like Rav Yochanan ben Nuri and not like the Chachamim. The other possibility is that our Mishnah is going even like the Chachamim, even though in Chulin, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim disagree regarding which of the eight have hides. That's only vis-a-vis Tuma Tahara. But vis-a-vis Shabbos, maybe the Chachamim agree that there is enough of a hide regarding Shabbos that it is viewed as collecting the blood, creating Chabura, and you're going to be chayv chavala on all eight. There is the possibility that our Mishnah is even reflecting the viewpoint of the Chachamim, which means that we'd have to separate the halachas of Tum and Tahara versus the halachas of Shabbos. Finally, we went over what is the definition of a chabura, a wound that is permanent, and a discussion in the Gemara, what if you go beyond wounding? What if you were to kill any one of the animals? The Gemara says, divrei hakol, you're going to be chayev. There is a debate regarding a louse, simply because of how it generates, how it reproduces, but that is only specific to the louse. Any animal where it clearly sexually reproduces, then killing that animal is going to be chayev. The Gemara says that is agreed to by everybody. And finally, when the Mishnah says that when I trap them, not because I want it, but simply because I'm trapping it because I don't want it around, so that defines itself as a malacha shein tzrich legufa, you're going to be pater, and that is reflective of the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon and two other areas, which happens to be that we covered on the Amud Aleph, Mapis Mursa, and Atzad Nachash, where there too it is a malacha shein tzrich legufa, and that is going like the shita of Rabbi Shimon.